What's up? You're listening to the Electric Runway podcast, a podcast on how emerging technologies are transforming the business of fashion and beauty around the world. I'm your host, Amanda Costco. Thanks so much for tuning in. Welcome to the show. When we think of soy, we often think of candles or an alternative to milk. But what about the role the crop plays in the business of fashion and beauty? In the US, soy is second only to corn in crop size, and it's playing a significant role in transforming many industries. My guest today is Carla Schultz. She's a soy farmer from Michigan and a United Soybean Board director, and she's here to tell us all about the links between soy, fashion, beauty, and beyond. This episode is sponsored by US Soy. To learn more about how the organization is growing solutions for every life, every day, visit ussoy.org. Carla, welcome to the show. It's so nice to be chatting with you.
Thanks for having me. Good morning, Amanda.
So how did you get into soy farming and how long have you been at it?
So good question. I think many farmers would say we didn't intentionally get into soy farming itself. Many of us are diversified. So on our farms, soy is pretty much a base crop that we grow for multiple reasons. But I've actually been farming pretty much my whole life. It was started by my parents. So growing up, we were always helping on the farm in one way or another, whether that was in the crop fields or we also raise livestock. So currently, my family, which consists of my husband and my four children and my parents, farm together in the state of Michigan.
And it's such a different life. I grew up in rural Ontario, and as we were chatting before we started recording, it's so much farmland there, but it's become more and more scarce, the farmland. So it's good to hear about farms that are still thriving. But I'm interested to know about how soy grew from this niche crop that was kind of hippy-dippy and not heard of to one of the largest crop exports in the U.S.
That is a very good point. And I'm going to take you back in a little history lesson or back to school. Not that anyone wants to go back to school sometimes, but I remember sitting in class in maybe fourth grade. And I remember hearing about George Washington Carver. And at the time, you learn about all these historical figures and what they did. And he was one that really innovated soybeans at the time. And it was actually in the South. I know I'm going way back because soybeans started in the South where I live, Michigan. Amanda, you're in Ontario, you see soybeans all over. You know, how did that grow into the north? And part of that is because the versatility of soybeans is amazing. And the genetics of soybeans have also grown so that we can grow it in northern climates. One great thing about soybeans, and this is the George Washington Carver, he was actually able to split the protein and oil, which are found in soybeans. And he created so many inventions with that soybean itself. So when I heard that you may be in fourth grade, I thought, oh, this is a great guy, but you memorize it for tests, but you really couldn't fully apply it or understand it until you get to be a little older. And you're like, wow, there are so many uses for soybeans. And that was just the tip of the iceberg when he started that. So when we look at soy, we see that it's used in items like animal feed, which is used domestically and across the world, which is then turned into human feed that we may find in the grocery store as protein. And we think about oil for cooking. We think about using it in so many different industries. And really, when you think about those first inventions that were made, it's like the list is endless and limitless. And I guess that's what we're on the cusp of, is finding those new innovations for the soybean itself.
What are the properties of soy that make it so widely used across industries? How does this versatility happen?
Sometimes I even wonder that myself as a grower, because it's amazing because we get to grow that crop on our farm. But to see it come out on the other side for end users, it's almost amazing and almost mind-boggling what can be made out of it. So when we talk about the soybean, we talk about it as a whole bean. We talk about in the growing industry, and that means that every part of the soybean has value for food, innovation, fabrics, and consumer products that you're going to find in the retail store, whether that be Target or Walmart or Meijer in my area. And we're really excited to find the new uses for soy itself. What we're looking at as soy is a renewable resource, and petroleum is an amazing resource, but it's non-renewable. So when we're looking at the soybean, we're looking at that renewable resource that we can turn into all sorts of products. So when we crush the beans, and think of like crushing the bean just like it sounds, right? We're going to take the oil and the meal out, and we are going to use that oil for biofuels, and we are going to use the meal for proteins in animal feed and innovative purposes. But we're always trying to find more eco-friendlier soybeans and ways to grow that with less resources.
And so of the 4.3 billion bushels of soy grown in the U.S. in 2022, as an example, what percent goes to fashion and beauty?
Amanda, that is a great question, and I cannot answer that exactly. But one thing I do know is that we would like that to grow, whether that be through partnerships, through brands, or new companies. We know that there are more possibilities to use it in the fashion and beauty industry. On the ingredient side, soy is often a fixture in sustainably beauty brands like Fresh, Aveeno, Burt's Bees, Huda Beauty, SkinCeuticals, and there are many others. But I love the brands like Aveda that not only talk about ingredients that are included in their products, but it's actually enhancing the products that we can offer to consumers. So when you think of soybean oil, you might think of like cooking oil that you just eat, but you can also think of it as a weightless moisture retention in hair care products. And it's used to soften, smooth, and strengthen hair strands, which is not something that the regular consumer, or even I think of often when I think about growing soybeans on my farm. We also know that soy has a lot of beauty benefits, both on the nutritional side and also on the anti-aging benefits. The antioxidant effects of soy enable it to decrease photoaging of the skin, and it helps prevent skin cancer. Also, another big point is the potent isoflavones that have been shown to promote collagen synthesis and increase skin thickness, while also smoothing fine lines to reverse the signs of anti-aging and fade dark spots, which I think we all could maybe use as we age, or we could all agree that those are really great benefits. I do want to put a plug in for some companies that are really innovating soy in their products. Places like Modern Meadow, which is a company innovating with soy that has worked with brands like Everlane to launch handbags that have a lower environmental impact, that have really impeccable quality. And I think we can all agree, when we think about the vegan leather and it starts to flake, like that's the soy leather or that alternative product is showing that it lasts much longer and it actually feels and wears like a more animal leather.
Yeah, we've had Modern Meadow on the podcast and they were talking about their innovations in fabrics, and it really is the future, I believe, in terms of these biomaterials. So let's talk about soy materials and fabrics. How are they produced and what are some interesting use cases you know of when it comes to fashion? Is it just for apparel or accessories and footwear as well? Who are the key players that you know about? You mentioned Modern Meadow. Tell me more about this interesting space.
Yeah, while I am not a scientist and I love the engineers that actually come up with these products and then experiment it in their labs, I know that they're using waste products of soybean oil, tofu, or soy milk, and they're making these into products, which makes it so eco-friendly and highly biodegradable. So some companies that I think of, and I actually really would love to order, I haven't tried some of these, but I'm very interested in places or in companies and brands like KD New York. Amanda, I don't know if you've heard of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you tried their products at all?
No, I haven't, but they're always on the cusp of innovation in terms of marketing and promotion of their brand. So it makes perfect sense to me that they're pioneering in materials as well.
So yeah, and I looked them up, and it's an athleisure brand that uses a soy-based cashmere to create work clothes for yoga, dance, ballet every day. And I think that's so interesting that it's actually mimicking an animal cashmere with a soy-based cashmere at a more eco-friendly base. And also on their price point, it's more affordable as well. And then I'm going to weave back in Modern Meadows, which we mentioned before, and they were working with Tory Burch using a plant protein made from non-GMO soybeans for its Ella Biopurse, which is an eco-friendly version of its Ella Tote. It would be nice to have one and try that out as well. We also see brands like DTC Brand, which is testing soy-based leather handbags using soy plant proteins. So we see this popping up in a lot of luxury brand items, which I think is very exciting for not only soybean farmers, but for eco-enthusiasts around the world. And as we think about that, we also think about carbon sequestration, and we think about the soybean plant and how it naturally is a carbon-neutral plant.
Right, because if you think about the energy that it costs to raise animals versus the energy that it costs to raise a plant, there's a bio savings there, essentially, is what you're saying, in terms of making leather from soy. And the compostability aspect of it is really important as well, because that's something that we're talking about a lot in the fashion industry, is sustainability and biodegradability and end of life. When you have something that actually looks like, feels like, behaves like leather, but then can decompose into the earth in a couple of years versus 500 years, it's a lot more appealing for a lot of reasons.
Absolutely. And those were all excellent points.
So can you tell us about the Nextile competition you recently announced for college students in the U.S. towards this end of exploring and discovering new materials?
Yeah, so this was a very exciting competition that I got to be part of, and I was a judge on the panel. But it's essentially a very new competition that USB launched, and it's making colleges and students aware of the capabilities of soy products into materials. So we actually sent, I know we had reached out to multiple colleges to enter this competition. We narrowed it down to, I believe, 6 colleges. Their students entered their projects that were made with items we sent, whether that be soy ink, soy thread, soy fabric material, soy dye, and they used those products to make a finished good. I guess what our end goal was we were looking at this, how creative, how innovative were they with these products? And then what end use could they have? And it was amazing to see the ingenuity of the college students with the products that we gave them and with the projects they came up with. I was pretty floored at the end. And as a soybean grower, it made me very excited for the future. One big benefit too was that they could actually win scholarships towards their programs, which really made it beneficial as well to continue that for years to come.
And so soy for beauty, you know, at first I thought it was just the obvious examples like skincare, moisturizer, but it turns out there's so many products in this category I never even thought of, like insect repellent, nail polish remover, and even lip gloss by brands like Huda Beauty, as you mentioned. So what are some of the beauty use cases that you're most excited about?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I had no idea there were so many beauty products that actually use soy as an ingredient. And sometimes that is because soy is that hidden ingredient. It might not be the first listed or the first marketed, but it is in there and is essential to the end product. So some companies that use soy as an ingredient are Fresh, Aveda, Aveeno, Burt's Bees, SkinCeuticals, and others. And we find those stellar anti-aging properties and antioxidants that come from soybeans that can be used in so many more products. And like we said, I think that it's limitless of what they can be made into. So I'm excited to see what other products can be made. And not only do we see it in those beauty products, but we see it in hair care as well. So Earth Science Fragrance-Free Conditioner uses soybean proteins. Aveda uses soybean oil and protein across much of its hair care line for strengthening, moisturizing, and even smoothing. For nails, and I have to say, Amanda, I'm pretty bad about my nails. Manicures do not come easy for me as a farmer in the dirt. I could do pedicures all day long. But when we think about your nails on your feet or on your hands, we think about Alamila and the soy nail polish remover, which is made with soy instead of acetone. And then when we think of body care, one we might want to use is Body Hero Daily Oil Wash. It's a soap-free oil cleanser made with soybean oil. And one of my favorites is Kiehl's Cream Decor, which includes soybean oil as a key ingredient. Oh, and you also mentioned the mosquito repellent. So Hello Bello actually offers a product that is a plant-based spray made with soy instead of the harsh, deep chemicals. It's effective, but it's also perhaps a kinder option for your skin.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just having a conversation on the podcast with one of the chief technology officers of a new hair care brand, The Rootist, and they're using fermentation and bioprocesses for hair care. And it just seems like we're coming to a head in beauty and in fashion where we're kind of getting back to how did we get this far and how can we use what's more natural to stay healthy and beautiful. And it seems like you're echoing that. And a lot of these products that you're naming is echoing this sentiment that perhaps Mother Nature has everything we need in it to be our best, most beautiful selves. So as I understand it, US Soy is hosting a panel at South by Southwest. I'm going to be there. What can we expect? Who are some of the people we're going to hear from?
Yeah, I'm very excited to be a moderator on one of those panels. So we're actually hosting 2 panels, and we're also going to have a soy-themed soiree at South by Southwest. So if you are there, please join us for that. So the first panel of beauty and personal care leaders will explore how businesses can satisfy a broader consumer shift towards those sustainable products. And we've been talking about that, Amanda. And you're going to hear from me, the moderator, and we've got some awesome panelists in that arena. So we've got Kendra Bracken Ferguson from the Brain Trust. We've got Christopher Crum from Ceronics Renewables. And we have Anne Lee Jeffs from Sustainability Collaborative, where she was formerly with Modern Meadow. Our second panel is going to include a USB member and team member, Tony, and he's going to actually moderate a close-up conversation with innovative pioneers working to increase sustainability in the entertainment industry. It's going to happen with Todd Holland from Directors Guild of America, Danica Vallone from Red Hen Industries, and Ty Walker from Kevin Hart's Heartbeat Productions. And they're both going to take place on the afternoon of March 12th at the Thompson Hotel in Austin. So if you are around, please join us for those panels, as I think they'll be really interesting and eye-opening into the sustainability industry with focusing on soybeans.
But yeah, I'm definitely going to be there. It sounds exciting. So how can people follow US Soy and stay in touch?
Yeah, so we have multiple ways you can stay in touch. Please follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and X. Or you can go to the South by Southwest website to learn more about the panels I just mentioned. And at ussoy.org, there's a plethora of information of what we just discussed and even more that breaks down the soybean itself and how beneficial it is to products that we use every day.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks so much for having me, Amanda.
That was my conversation with Michigan soy farmer Carla Schultz. Carla is a board director at United Soybean. Once again, thank you to US Soy for sponsoring this episode so our listeners can learn all about the many use cases of soy in fashion, beauty, and beyond. For more information, check out the show notes. That's it for today's episode. Thanks so much for tuning in, and until next time, here's looking towards the future.